Hello, hello, and welcome to the new title of the show, The Spiritually Savvy Nurse, Deep Dives and Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton, and I am beyond excited today because this is the first international guest I have ever had on my show. And so here we go. I'm so delighted to introduce you to Yeshi Wangmo. Yeshi is currently a registered nurse at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, Ireland. And for the past 2 months, the unit she's been working with is a dedicated COVID patients. She finished her Master's of Nursing Sciences from the University of Limerick. She worked in a nursing home mainly focusing on senior citizens with dementia in the same hospital. She completed her education from India and moved to Ireland in 2015 to pursue her further education. Apart from nursing as a profession, Yeshi takes great interest in yoga, meditation, and photography. In 2019, she traveled back to India and completed a yoga teacher training course from Rishikesh, Uttarakhand, India, and also other short-term courses like gravity yoga instructor and yoga breaking coach from Yoga Body. She wishes to inculcate and impart a blend of yoga and nursing as a yoga nurse teacher in the long run to create a harmonious and peaceful work style. At present, she is involved in a training on yoga nurse, yoga teachers training from Yoga Nurse Academy in the United States. To materialize her love for reading, writing, and photography, Yeshi recently opened her own blog spot, Yoga with Yuwang, where she shares her experience as a nurse and also her interest in yoga and meditation. She believes that daily meditation of compassion and mind training enhances productivity at her workplace. Yeshi, welcome all the way from Dublin, young lady.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yay! Well, it is my honor, and I'm so excited to have an international influence, to have somebody all the way in Ireland. So Yeshi, you have such an incredible background and so much life experience. So I would be honored if you could share with us, about your journey from Tibet and about the schooling and as much of your journey and kind of how you got to where you are, and just I'd love to hear your story.
That's a lifelong story, so it would take longer than an hour to share. Are you ready? So I was born in Tibet, but because of lack of opportunity for education, I moved to India. I fled to India because at that time we didn't have access to go, or we literally had to escape in any means possible. So I tried once. I was about eight and a half year first when I attempted to escape, and I was sent with a group of people and two guides, and then we were about to we had to go through the Mount Everest base camp, and we were about to reach there, and then we were caught and we were sent back, and we were imprisoned for like almost a month, and then finally sent back, and they warned us if they caught us again, they will put us in jail. But since my passion and my desire to go to a proper school and educate myself was so strong that I really didn't want to go back and end up being a nomad. I was from a nomad family at that time. And so my brother gave me an option of going back, trying to escape and reach to India for my education, or go back home, be with my parents, my mom and my family. And then I think it was kind of ego that all my friends thought that I'm in India, and at that time we used to think imagine India like a heaven. So it was a dream for us to go there and get educated. And so I said, whatever it takes, I'll go try again. And then my brother sent me back again with another group of people, and my younger brother was there. He was around 7, and we were the only children who were going with them. And it was a harsh time. It was summer when we tried first, and when we tried second, it was winter and it was cold. We had to hide during the day because they will catch us. And then we try to take the roads mainly through the mountains, because we can't really take the main road. They would see us. So somehow it took like 1 month to reach to the border of Nepal. When we reached to Nepal, then there is a Tibetan reception who receive all Tibetans who escaped from Tibet. And then they will receive us, they will send us to India. And from India, we have a reception in Himachal Pradesh, where our exile government is situated now. And then from there, they will divide us into according to the age, and then they send us to the schools. We have around 20 or 21 schools in Tibetan schools in India. So they sent me and my brother to our school, which is like ever since we reached there is our home. And in the school, it's a boarding school, SOS, we call it SOS school, sponsored by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Tibetan government there. So from then, they will look after us from education, from uniforms, from food, everything. And I lost connection with my family for years, but it wasn't hard to live there because we were looked after. And one of the reasons why I wanted to go to school so badly was because all my brothers were going to school, but I was the second girl child. My sister is a nun, and I was the only one who can help my mom to look after the yaks and goat and sheep, because we are nomads. But then I see my friends and everyone else going to school, but I didn't have the time to go to school. So I really wanted to go to school. And also around age of 7, I lost my father to an undiagnosed disease. And we didn't know why. We didn't know the cause, because we didn't really have any medical doctors or nurses or anything at all. So I wanted to be someone who can look after sick people and who can help when they are in their worst. And from then, I think from the childhood, I wanted to become either a nurse or doctor. But I used to say I wanted to become a doctor when I was in school. But that changed over time, because I finished my high school, I thought, okay, if I become a doctor, that's great. I can treat patients. But then doctors actually see the patients for a few minutes and diagnose this. And then if they do surgery, all sort of things. But nurses are the ones who really go into deep and get to know the person and be with them, give them psychological support, or like 24 hours when you are in the shift, you are with the patients, you can do much more difference than being a doctor. And that's what made me to be a nurse. And then after finishing my school, I went to South India to a nursing college, and I did my bachelor's of nursing science for 4 years there. And then after almost a year after graduation, and I came to Ireland for my master's. And while I was doing my master's, I was working as a healthcare assistant, nursing assistant, in the same place I worked after finishing my master's, because we cannot work in Ireland coming from India straight away as a registered nurse. We have to go through examinations and all sort of things until then we can work as a healthcare assistant, and which I did. And then after finishing my master's, I wrote the exams, I passed, and then I became a nurse. I worked there in the same place for 2 years, and I moved to Dublin 3 months ago when the pandemic started, and that's how I ended up here. That's my story.
Wow. So how old were you when you actually got to, when you made the trek across the Himalayas? How old were you?
Oh, I was 9.
Wow. So I think a lot of the people listening have no concept, right? No reference point. Like the word suffering is coming up. Like how much you had to go through your father, losing your father, and then you're one of the only two daughters, and your mom, and taking care of the sheep. And wow, I'm just, wow. And it sounds like the Dalai Lama and the schooling and everything, you felt really loved and supported, it sounds like.
Yes.
Now, so you were near one of your brothers in school, is that right?
I was with my brother, but he went back, and now one of my brother, who is a monk, who is in India at the moment, but everyone else is in Tibet. And the one funny thing is, since I left from Tibet, I didn't get a chance to go back for like 15 years, because obviously I run away kind of thing. So we didn't have any papers to go back, and they wouldn't allow us. So we have one chance that we can ask for a travel document, but it's really hard to get. I tried four times or something. And then the last time I got it, which was when I finished my college. And then I got a chance to go back, and everything was completely different.
Wow. So were you able to see your mom?
I did after 15 years.
Wow. What was that like?
When I tell people, I think it's hard for them to even imagine, because they really haven't gone through the experience. But when I think it's of myself, it's not only me who is in the same condition. Every Tibetan children, or now adults who came from Tibet the way I came, have gone through same experience. And there are thousands of them who didn't even see their parents, and they lost their parents while they're away from them. And I think I like to think that I'm very one of the luckiest that I got a chance to go back and see my mom and my family and all sort of things. But yeah, there are thousands of other people like me who even got a chance to go back, or whose parents were already gone when they got a chance to go back.
What a gift, right? Wow. That's a beautiful, are you still in connection with your mom now, Yeshi?
Oh yeah, no, I speak to her every day, and I called this morning and mom said, I'm doing prayer, don't call me at this time. Yeah,
so oh, I now love
I'm
it.
It's at a point that I'm calling her too much. Like I made a promise to myself last year during my New Year, like Tibetan New Year, that I'll call her every day, or at least alternative day, and check on her, how she's doing and all those things. And ever since she became my best friend, and we speak about everything, anything and everything. So if I want to know something from something about my place and my brothers and my neighbors who I hardly recognize, but when she tells story, I know them, and we kind of gossip and all sort of things. Yeah, we are very close now.
That is such a wonderful, wow. I'm so glad that you got, after four tries, you were able to get the documentation so that you could go back. I mean, what a blessing. Oh my gosh. And so when you're speaking, I'm just thinking of, like, your heart is so big and you have so much compassion because of what, all the things that you went through. Like you're saying, you feel so grateful to be a lucky one, like as a caregiver, as a provider, as a nurse, as a human being. I can just imagine, I would totally want you to be my nurse. you know what I'm saying though, right?
It's like, I know, yeah.
You have such compassion.
Thank you.
For humanity, I'm sure because of what you went through, right?
I think one of the reason is what I went through. And another is, I don't know if it's right, but I kind of feel that it's where I came from. My family are really spiritual, like not religious, but spiritual. And I have my brother who's a monk and who is one of the person I'm really close to, and who teaches me, encourages me what to do, what to think, how to think, how to take things. And all sort of things. And then he is like my spiritual teacher as well, because if I want to learn Buddhism, even I'm Buddhist, I know maybe 1% of Buddhism. So he is there to clarify everything and teaches me everything. I think that kind of gives me the strength and being who I am.
Oh, what a great thing to have your brother be a monk and to be that guide for you. I love what you said about spirituality, not religious.
Yeah.
To me, what does spirituality mean to you, and what has that allowed you to become?
I think when we say spiritual, I'm spiritual. I think some people kind of tend to think in religious way, which is I'm Buddhist and I believe in such and such, and then you don't respect the belief or other religion things, and you think that what I am is right, all sort of things. And even Buddha have told to analyze and see the reason and logic, and if you think it's right and applicable, follow. Otherwise, if there is something that you think is not right for you, ignore it. So if you're religious and just following blindly the teachings of your religion, then I don't consider that really a spiritual. Spiritual is someone who has the sense of humanity, who might believe in karma, cause and action and result. If you do something and something good will come to you. Those kind of things are spiritual, and the religious is, as I told earlier. So I think it's nicer if we have more of people who are spiritual than being very religious.
I can't like this comment enough and love this. I totally agree. It's like, I think that religion really is a divisive thing, because it really can be about manipulation and control. And spirituality is about our oneness, you know, yes. And that we are all love. And how would you say being a spiritual being has informed your nursing practice, or how has that helped you be a nurse? Or yeah,
I think most of it, for example, we are a human being. There's times that we might think in a different way. If you are having a hard time, hard day, or you are having a bad day, and then someone comes across path you, or let's say a patient, and then you, it's easy to lose your, lose your usual habit of what you do if you are in bad mood. But then I like to try to be aware of each and everything, to kind of just being aware, have the awareness of what's going on. And even if it's you're eating, just be aware that you're eating. And if you're talking to your patient and patient, or treating your patient or everything, and if something, the way how I talk to the patient comes out not nice as it should be at times, and then immediately I reflect back and I know that it wasn't right, and then I correct myself inside and I tell myself, yeah, you're doing this because you have that some other emotions that is disturbing you, but what you're doing is not because of the other person. What you're doing is what you are feeling inside. So that's how I kind of try to change my habit. And then one thing I like to think is that even in Buddhism, we consider everybody who has been or will be your mother once in a life, because we believe in life after death and endless life as long as you are in the samsara. So if I want my mother to be treated well, then that person right in front of me has a child, and they might have children, and their children would want me to treat their parents in the way how I want my mother to be treated. And that's how I look at them and the patients. And I tell them, but when I say it, I mean it, because I really don't just talk. I like to see my patients as my own parents, or maybe if not, in my last life, or maybe in previous life, in some way we have connection. We are all interdependent and we are all family. So that's how I think I put my spirituality in my practice.
I mean, if every nurse could practice like this, can you imagine the level of healing and oh my gosh, something was coming up. So basically what you're modeling, what you're practicing, Yeshi, is presence, awareness, like moment to moment, you know, consciousness, awareness. And so to me, especially in the world that we live in with all the technology, is that giving somebody else our undivided attention is the highest form of love, compassion ever, right? Just being present with another person.
Yes.
That is so good. Now, so did you grow up, where you were in school, did you grow up learning meditation every day? What was that like?
When we were in school, we have our religious teachings now and then, and we have morning and evening prayer sessions. It's compulsory for all school children, but not meditation as meditation, like you sit down and think, all those kind of meditation, but we have the exposure of all the essence of religious practice and all the how to be compassionate, how important, and all those not just physically sitting and meditating, but in how to practice compassion, loving kindness, all sort of things. So that's what I think my background, being in a school we are only Tibetans were there, and we have all the we were taught all the culture and the cultural and religious value, everything. It's one of the factor how I am being shaped.
That's so beautiful. What would you say to someone listening who is curious about meditation practice, or just really stepping on to more of this spiritual path? What words of wisdom would you share with them, Yeshi?
When it comes to meditation, the word meditation, from my experience, from people I see how they react, they think meditation is something you really have to sit down and close your eyes and then try to not to think anything else than the meditation. But to me, meditation is not just that. Meditation is the main concept is, as I said, is being aware. The awareness is the meditation. If you are aware that you are aware of something, that's meditation. Even if you are aware that you are not aware of something, or that's also meditation. So you don't have really to sit down, take time from something, and take time and sit and try to meditate. If you're with someone and be aware that you are with that person and talking and listen to them and try to analyze all those kind of things are awareness. And when you are aware, it's meditation. And one of the things that about meditation, what I like is the compassion meditation. That's what I practice every day without a break. And when I say meditation on compassion, it's like I said before, looking at someone as and treating them as how you wanted to be treated, or how your loved one would like to be treated. All those kind of things, and compassion and meditations. So if someone who wants to practice meditation but not sure of how, first just try to be aware of yourself and try to be aware of what your mind says and how you carry your body, how you talk to someone. All those things are like basic but starting point of meditation. If you become comfortable with those things, then maybe you can sit down and think about something. And there are like many kind of meditation, but if some of them are like guided meditation, but some are like supported meditation, but you don't really have to just think of one thing and then try to meditate on that. And then some thoughts, we call it monkey mind, comes up. You say, oh, I'm not able to meditate, this and that, and it's so many thoughts are happening. But that is normal, that's also okay. And when thoughts comes, try not to block. If you try to block your thoughts, then it's not gonna help. It will make your meditation more difficult. So when literally when the monkey mind start jumping around, let it jump around and just accept it. It's normal, and then try to bring your concentration on what you're meditating on. So that's the tip I can give, but I'm not really expert in meditation or anything as such.
That's perfect. I love that. Become aware that you are aware. So
yes,
for people listening, it's incredible. I like analogies, and I'm a very visual person. So for me, an example of how humans are not really aware that we're aware is when we drive. We get in our car and we go to the same hospital, or we go to the same school, we go to the same salon. We really are like on autopilot. We arrive to our destination and we were like, how the heck did I get here? Like, what, where was my mind? What was I just doing? It's like, we don't even have an awareness that like, we can feel like our legs sitting on the seat. We could feel our hands on the wheel. So there's like physical awareness. And then we have the awareness of our thoughts and, you know, how our bodies are moving in space. So Yeshi, I love that. Become aware that you're aware. It doesn't have to be, you know, sitting on a meditation cushion for 3 hours, having a clear slate. It's like, and also the compassion, right? I like the words, become a silent witness, a compassionate observer of your thoughts. And I love this idea that the way that we create suffering is when we want to be somewhere else. So if we think about yesterday or we're thinking about tomorrow, we're completely robbing ourselves of this moment right here that we're never going to have again. So it's such a beautiful practice. Yeah. Okay. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about yoga. So I have to give a shout out to Annette Tersini, the yoga nurse, because wonderful. Annette is actually how Yeshi and I connected, and the yoga nurse group. And how has yoga, I mean, it's probably very similar, right, to the meditation practice, your discipline. How has yoga also informed your nursing and just your humanity, Yeshi?
Yoga was one of the things I really wanted to do long back. And I remember going for a yoga class when I was in India, in Dharamshala. I and one of my friends went to a class, and I ended up going only for 2 days because I fell asleep. The next day I didn't go. But ever since, I didn't physically practice yoga for a long time. But last year, I don't know, I used to go to gym, and then my body felt so tight and so stiff and sore every time I go to gym. And it gives me energy, but it's not like how I want to feel. And then I did started doing some stretchings after gym, and then I had a weird pain on my lower back, but I thought it's kind of related to sciatica, but then doctor said it's not sciatica, it's some joints, and there was actually no problem that we can really see. But he suggested me to go for swimming, which I did. It didn't help. So last year I had to go back to India for some paperwork, and then I thought, okay, maybe if I have to go there and to wait for the paperwork to be done, I have to stay there for 2 months. And instead of wasting my time roaming around, and I'll go do something productive. And then I looked up in the internet. I really don't remember. I didn't even looked up for yoga or anything. I don't know how it came up in my internet, but somehow I ended up seeing the yoga teacher training. And then I looked at schools and looked so good. For me, I have a rule of 10-second decision. Whatever I feel is right in 10 seconds, I take it, I do it. If I don't do it, if I don't do it in 10 seconds, my mind, monkey mind, again, start talking. And then what he talks about mostly are confusing. So what I did was within 10 seconds, I was like, that's it. I'm going to take a yoga teaching training. And if I did that, I'm doing that for myself, and then maybe for the best, I might be able to help people if I can do it. And yeah, that's one of the way how I ended up in yoga. And when I went to do the yoga teacher's training, and I was like, wow, why I didn't do it when I was in India, and how did I miss this? I'm like a new person. And one interesting experience that I experienced during my yoga teacher training was that I wanted to see my mom when I am closer to Tibet, and then I didn't know how to see her because it's very hard for her to get papers, and I obviously have no papers to go passport or anything to go to Tibet. So I was thinking maybe I can ask my mom to come to Nepal, and well, not mom, my brother, to bring my mom to Nepal somehow. And then I got that idea, and I told my brother, and I have to see her this time. If not this time, maybe never. And then he said he'll try. And they tried to apply for the visa for my mom, and they said they can't give. And well, it's political issues, very complicated. And just one day my mom was like, they said the boss is some in some other country, and when he comes back, he'll think. And then in one of the class in my yoga class, after finishing during the resting time, I fell asleep. And I had a dream that I saw my mom in a boat in a river, and I'm at the shore of the river, standing there to receive my mom and my brother. When I woke up, I felt so enlightened. I would say, I told my yoga teacher and my friends I had a weird dream, and I dreamt that. And that very evening, I think after 2 hours, my mom sent me the visa, copy of visa, photo of a visa, and that's it. She got it. I was like, wow.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, I couldn't believe, I'm like, maybe it has to, I mean, I was meant to meet her, but the way how I dreamt about these things, that's how I got into dream yoga as well. And after finishing all this, I met my mom last year. So after everything, then I told myself I'm going to practice yoga every day and first make myself a practitioner and improve myself before helping or trying to help anyone else, because I'm going to teach or practice or implement what I know instead of something I don't know, if I want to be effective teacher, or if I want to make a difference in someone's life effectively. So ever since, I practice yoga every day for 1 or 2 hours, and with that meditation, and I practice sleep yoga as well. Yeah, so then about the nursing and yoga thing, and I was like, my friends started asking, are you going to teach yoga and then going to leave nursing? I'm like, as long as I live, nursing lives in me, there's no question of leaving nursing for anything. But I'm not sure how to mix these two. So I was listening to one of the podcasts from Yoga Alliance, and someone mentioned yoga nurse and yoga therapist. I'm like, that's it. There is something called yoga nurse. And then I Googled it, and at school came up yoga nurse. I'm like, my heart was pumping so hard. I felt it. And there is something which I was looking for so long. And without a thought, I signed up for her. I signed up for the yoga nurse essential course. And then I thought I'll see the next step. And then I finished my yoga nurse essential course. And I think 2 days later or something, I got an email about the yoga nurse yoga teacher training, which is newly built, but wasn't out then. Where I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And that's how I ended up signing up for yoga nurse yoga teacher training, which I'm still doing. And I'm enjoying it for the fullest. And it's so funny, whenever I listen to Annette's video, there is a space, a feeling that it feels like, I don't know, it feels so warm and feels like a mom talking to you. I don't know, the connection is weird.
Really, I know exactly what you're talking about. Annette's cadence, her energy, her mama bear energy, it really just pulls you in, and it's like a big hug, and it's so grounding. And I love that you said that, you know, you heard about the yoga nurse through the Yoga Alliance, and then you did the Google machine. That's exactly how I found Annette. I literally typed in the Google machine, how do I combine my yoga training with nursing? And up she pops. And literally, yeah, she, this was like on a Thursday, like the next weekend I'm in Florida training with her. So I think it's just, it's so divine. And, you know, there's nothing else like it. Yoga nurse, yoga teacher training, like training, yoga training taught and created by nurses for nurses. I think it's obviously, it's genius, because who better than a nurse to inform yoga teachers that want to help facilitate healing for people through the art and science of yoga. So I think when you were talking about your incredible experiences with yoga, to me, and you know, for people that maybe don't know yoga or don't practice, the word actually yoga means to yoke or to unite. And so when you were speaking, Yeshi, to me, when people are practicing yoga, what we're doing is we're really getting our mind, body, and spirit in a receptive state. And to me, being in a receptive state gets us aligned so that we can prepare to receive messages from source, God, whoever your higher power is, which is maybe why you receive that dream or that upload, download about your mom. So I would love to ask you, if you have had an experience, a divine download, where you received some wisdom. Clearly you have received a lot of wisdom in your life experience. I mean, good gracious. Is there one that comes to mind, Yeshi, or that stands out that once you received the information, it really did change how you be?
Let me put it this way. How I became spiritual, like, more than ever, is because I see dreams. It's weird when I talk about dreams for people, but for me, I believe in dreams. Sometimes I'm very biased of what I want to believe in, which is unfair. Like, if I see a nice dream and I like it, so I believe in that. If I don't, I see some unpleasant dream and I'm like, oh yeah, it's just a dream. But still, when I see dreams, you know, in Tibetan, I mean, in Buddhism, there is a goddess, her, we call Tara. Tara is a goddess who came from the god of compassion. And we believe, I think, I speak it in Christianity, it's almost like Mary to them. For us, Tara is like Mary to Christianity. So I believe in her so much that if I see a bad dream or if I'm having a nightmare, I find myself reciting prayers to her. And then as I pray, if I start praying to her, the nightmare goes away and I recognize my dream in the dream that I'm dreaming. And when this dream is over, this fear is not there anymore. And when I wake up, instead of that nightmares I had experienced, I look at how I prayed and how I saw Tara, goddess Tara, and I feel really, I'm feel happy, and I wake up fresh and all sort of things. So from then I started looking into more of my own religion and reasons why we see in dream and why we dream, I mean, why we pray and how they help in prayer. And I even asked my brother, and my brother said, and if you are dreaming about the God in your dream, sorry, if you are having a bad dream and you're praying in the praying to the God in the dream and that God is helping you in dream, that means in your waking life, there is no question that the God will help you in any kind of obstacles or any situation. So that's how I got into more deeper into spirituality. And another thing is, my brother told me that Buddha once have prayed that he prayed to be born as either a nurse or a doctor who can help others, because Buddha's main aim or mission was to help others to escape or to not suffer. So when I think of my where I am, I think of that too as well, and which encourages me to be more spiritual, more more divine.
so beautiful. I love that you're speaking about dreams and Tara, she comes from the God of compassion. When I can't remember if it was before or after, I had a spiritual experience where I got this channeled message. And then I started noticing, Geshe, when I was dreaming, and I taught myself to remember my dreams when I was in college. And so I would, as soon as I would wake up, I would write down my dreams. And what I started finding was that because I was getting my body in a receptive state through yoga and meditation, being in nature, so I was getting so many messages in my dreams. And it sounds sort of similar. In fact, the other night I had a dream that I work with crystals a lot. The three crystals that I carry with me every day were levitating in my dream. And then one of my nursing colleagues was looking at me, and both of her eyes were made out of rose quartz. And it freaked me out. And I was like, in my dream, I'm screaming, I'm calling in the angels, I'm calling it like the protection, because I was a little bit freaked out. So anyway, the whole point of this is that we really are, to me, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And the more that we can tap into these resources, right, Geshe, it's just, you cannot make up the stuff that comes onto your path, because we're in an open state. Would you agree?
Of course, definitely.
This has been so divine and sublime on so many levels. You're definitely in my soul family. Like, I know you. I feel like I know you. So I do want to tell people, how can people follow you, if that's okay, follow you on social media, either on Instagram or Facebook? Geshe, you want to share that?
My Instagram is Yoga with Yvonne Ireland. And my website name is yvonnestonedeer.com. If you look up as Yoga with Yvonne, also it will pop up. And Facebook, the same, Yoga with Yvonne. I have private Instagram and Facebook. They're like private for my private. So, yeah.
Okay. So we could either share it or not share it based on if you want people to be able to see your to see your stuff. We'll talk about that offline, and if it's okay, I'll put that stuff in the show notes. What any final wisdom, Geshe, wisdom you want to share with the listeners today before we wrap this up?
Only thing I can tell only what I do, so either it might be helpful or applicable for some people. But what I do are really simple, which makes my days and nights and life much happier and easier. And have a kind of daily routine to reflect back. And let's say, like, if maybe especially in the evenings, in the end of the day, just sit down for a while and reflect and see how your days have been, what you did, and what you did went right or wrong. Even some things went wrong, just accept them, because we all make mistakes, things go wrong, but that's what human go through. And when I say reflect back and accept the things that didn't go well and embrace the things that went well and to continue doing that. And if something went wrong and made a mistake, try to change that, because some people have the habit of not able to accept the mistake, and that's where people get stuck. And that's one thing. And about the yoga, sorry, sleep and dream yoga, if you believe in dreams, even if you don't believe in dream and want to have a good night's sleep without or with dreams, just before going to sleep and going to bed, meditate for a while and tell yourself to try to recognize the dream and understand the dream, and then remember the dream and reflect it back. But you don't have to really believe in all the dreams, because dreams are just dreams, your subconscious mind reflecting in your sleep. And another thing with the dream yoga is that even if you can, but it's really hard to practice or accept that, but try to see the things that's happening in your awaking life as a dream. If you get what I mean, if you are sleeping and you're dreaming, and when you wake up and the dream, whatever you see in dream that felt right in your dream, is no longer there when you wake up. It same applies to waking life experience. When you in your waking life, whatever experience, good experience, bad experience, whatever sort of experience you experience in your waking life, when you go to bed and when you sleep, that experience is not there. It's gone. You are in a different world of dream, world of sleep. So if you try to look in that way, so whatever is in our life, everything is impermanence. So there is no point of clinging, being attached, or being attached too tightly to anything at all. So that's my message.
That is the greatest advice ever. I mean, our only permanence is our impermanence, right? Nothing yes. lasts forever. And the more that we can surrender and release our attachment to anything, whether it's a thought, a job, material things, relationships, it really does create so much peace. So thank you so much for that wisdom, Yeshi.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this has been so amazing. I trust that people are going to walk away from this feeling really at ease and peaceful, and hopefully have some hope and just recognizing the power that you have within you to practice reflection, like you were saying, Yeshi, and stillness, and really aligning with this, really the divine spirits, I think, that we all are. So thank you.
Thank you so much. This was a very new and nice experience.
Yay! Oh, I'm so glad that it was okay for you and it was divine for me. And so thank you, Yeshi. Of course, we also want to thank the listeners. And I really love to connect with other people. So please engage with me on the social channels. Let me know what you're thinking of the episodes. Let me know what you're interested in hearing about. And keep taking baby steps towards your dreams, your desires. And you are supported. Every step of the way, you have free will. So make sure you ask for help. And until next time, take good care. Bye-bye.